with the Victorian COVID pandemic affecting over 100 private residential aged care homes with more than 600 active cases and several deaths, understanding the factors that have created this enormous problem is critical to working out the solutions. There are limits to what we can learn from the United States, but a new study from Philadelphia has found that there is a simple indicator of risk. Professor Rachel Werner runs the Institute of Health Economics at the University of Pennsylvania, and I spoke to her this morning.
What we found was that there weren't specific factors about the nursing home that predicted which nursing homes were affected. It was more important what the rates of infection were in the community surrounding the nursing homes.
This was the risk of staff bringing the COVID-19 virus into the nursing home.
In all likelihood, that is what was happening. Most nursing homes report that there were not visitors coming and going.
So what variables did you take into account?
There were some issues related to a nursing home having a complaint filed against them that made them slightly more likely to have a COVID infection. Some nursing homes have a higher proportion of poor patients in them, and that was also slightly related to whether or not the nursing home had a COVID infection.
And what about for-profit and not-for-profit?
So the for-profit nursing homes did have slightly higher rates of COVID infections than the not-for-profit nursing homes. Other people have also looked at this and not found that to be true, so I'm not sure what to make of that.
Currently in Melbourne, we've got quite a severe outbreak. And there's clear relationship here between private versus public. So publicly funded aged care centres are not by and large affected, and it is in the private sector. And what's been suggested here is poorly trained staff, no good infection control, and a systemic problem there. Were you able to look at, or do you know, the level of training, for example, throughout residential aged care in the United States? What standards apply?
Yeah, so I wish that we knew more about the types of staff that were at these nursing homes. Unfortunately, we don't. Historically, in the United States, the privately owned nursing homes have had worse quality of care than not-for-profit nursing homes. That's been true for decades in this country. They seem to invest less in quality improvement activities, have lower levels of staffing, and they could very well have lower levels of staff training. But whether or not that's true during this COVID infection, we just don't know right now.
So where do you go with that? Because I think 20% of COVID-19 deaths in the United States have been in nursing home residents or staff. People have called them land-based cruise ships. Where do you go from here with the sort of data you've got, at least in the US context?
So actually, I think it's about 40% of deaths in the United States have been in nursing home residents. And I agree that they are land-based cruise ships. So they are a setup for spreads of infection like these. You know, who's living in nursing homes? It's older people who are very vulnerable to this infection and don't do well because of the other comorbid conditions they have. Nursing homes in the U.S., and I think across the globe, tend to have a lot of communal spaces and shared rooms. And so they're set up for spread of infection. And even those nursing homes that typically do okay with containing the spread of normal infections haven't done well under the pandemic. And so I think short term to try and prevent this from happening again in the United States, or trying to prevent it from, so I live in Philadelphia where the pandemic has waned a little bit, but starting to pick up again. And how are we going to prevent it from happening again? Staff certainly need better training early on in the infection. Also, staff didn't have enough personal protective equipment, so masks and gowns, to be able to protect nursing home residents and themselves from the spread of the infection. And they didn't have enough ability to isolate residents once they were infected. So I think that if we want to be able to contain infection within nursing homes, we really need to provide more support for nursing homes and the nursing home staff in it. They also need much better access to testing than they currently have, so that they can regularly and routinely test all staff and residents and then isolate people when they are found to be infected with the virus.
An area of controversy here in Australia is the extent to which you remove people from aged care, residential aged care, when there's virus circulating, but people are saying they're worried about delirium and creating real problems with frail elderly who are being removed. Has that practice been prevalent in the United States, where you remove people, take them into other facilities to try and protect other people in the residential facility?
There has been some efforts to create COVID-only nursing homes. As you said, it can be very traumatic to move older people to new environments where they have higher rates of delirium. But I think because of the lack of support for nursing homes financially in general in the United States, it's been very hard to find safe places to move people once they have COVID-19 infections or even to isolate them within the nursing homes where they currently live. I think the best strategy over the long term is to think more seriously about how we take care of people as they age in this country and across the globe, and to try and provide more support to keep people at home as long as they can, keep them out of nursing homes, because I think it's clearly safer for people to be in a home-based and community-based setting.
Professor Rachel Werner is at the University of Pennsylvania. Professor Kathy Eger is Director of Health Services Research Institute at the University of Wollongong and has a special interest in aged care. Welcome back to the Health Report, Kathy.
Good afternoon.
What do you make of that study? How different is it here from there? I mean, showing that one of the key factors is, in fact, the amount of virus in the community. I suppose it's the obvious factor.
Look, I think there are sort of three issues. The first, which is the one that Rachel spoke about, is the likelihood that COVID gets in. And the best predictor of that clearly is going to be the amount of COVID out there in the community. And then the second issues are about how do you manage the index case, you know, the first one or two people. And then the second set of issues after that is what do you do about a major outbreak? And I think the answers to those questions are slightly different. But obviously, for-profit homes comes up as an issue all over the place. We just heard about the US. The Canadians have published a similar sort of paper. Staff quality and availability, a level of experience, numbers and mix, and continuity of staff comes up as a critical factor. I don't think that these are very different issues, and I think we've known about them for a long time.
But not done very much about them. I mean, let's just go through that a little bit. I suppose the core question I'm going to ask you here is, have we got market failure in aged care? And you just can't expect to make money out of it. It's just not a market that works very well.
We did a report last year. We did a major piece of research for the Royal Commission into Aged Care, and we looked at international benchmarks for aged care, and we concluded that the best system in the world is the American 5-star system as a public reporting rating system. And it's not very often in my career that I've been able to say that the US does something better than we do, but on this they do. 58% of all Australian residents are in homes that would only rate 1 or 2 star in the US.
Really?
Rachel's study talked about.
So the benchmark of Rachel's study was much higher than ours.
Absolutely. Rachel said both her group that got COVID and didn't get COVID, they were both averaging 4 hours, staff hours per patient day or per resident day. The average in Australia is 3 hours. And that's only 36 minutes of a registered nurse and 144 minutes of a certificate or, a very low-skilled, low-paid personal care worker.
Who doesn't get much training in infection control, for example, when it comes to COVID.
Absolutely, very little training. And you mentioned the Victorian public homes. Those public homes comprise 20% of the homes in Victoria, but only 10% of the residents, because they tend to be small and they tend to be rural. But even when you can control for that, they've done demonstrably better. They average 5 hours per resident per day.
And what would their star rating be in the American system?
They'd be 4 or 5 stars. So we actually know what it looks like across the whole country. But only 1% of facilities in Australia would get a 5-star rating in the US, and 14% would get a 4-star rating. So 15% would get the sort of rating that you and I might want to select if we were placing our parents in care. The majority of people are in homes that have very low ratings and in many cases don't even have a registered nurse on the premises 24 hours a day.
So just briefly, because we haven't got much time left, it doesn't sound optimistic in terms of finding quick solutions for states that want to get ready for their COVID-19 pandemic, which will no doubt come.
Well, I think we've got to do the three things. We've got to look at how we keep COVID out. We've got to look at what we're doing as soon as we get that first index case. And given the low level of skill, I really support, if there's only 1 or 2 people, moving them out in order to protect the other residents as much as to give them the care that they need. And then there's a whole different question about what do you do in these homes in Victoria where you've got 60, 70 or 100 people infected. That's a different order of magnitude that we really haven't had a conversation about yet.
And we will, no doubt. Cathy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Professor Cathy Eagar is Director of the Health Services Research Institute at the University of Wollongong. And this is Aaron's Health Report, and I'm Norman Swan.